Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. And in case we haven't told you, welcome to 2024 and a brand new year. And it is going to be a brand new year as far as golf goes, with so many things still hanging in the air. And that, of course, is in reference to the LIV Tour, the PGA Tour, their agreement, what's going to happen there. But everybody's still playing. And LIV Tour gets their official first start, Mayakoba, coming up in early February. So that's right around the corner. And, of course, the PGA Tour already started in Maui. And now they'll move to another island, play at Wailea for the Sony Open this week. So golf goes on, even though boardrooms are busy trying to figure out how it's all going to work out. We'll talk about that with our good friend Steve Johnson, Director of Instruction at Vaquero Country Club in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And a lot of other stuff, whatever else comes up. NFL, by the way, playoffs, and the Cowboys. And who predicts that they'll win the Super Bowl? Me, Steve, and Frank, I'm sure we'll all be in agreement on that one. But speaking of Frank Bassett in the temporary Nashville studios. Last we spoke, Frank, or back a ways ago, you got semi-wiped out by a tornado. God bless you. And now you're in a rental home. Is that right? Is that
yes, status? I'm in a leased house. We got our house is basically unlivable for the next 10 to 12 months. And we're in this place, but, you know, we're healthy, we're good, nobody got hurt. Some people did die not too far from us, but, we're okay. And then the rental house, I can't find a darn thing. I go to the kitchen, I open every drawer in there trying to find stuff.
And so, Frank, this is Steve Johnson here, Frank. Can I ask a couple questions?
Yeah.
Jump in.
Jump on in.
Sorry about that. now, during the storm, did you get ample warning that, you know, hey, did sirens go off, or do we watch on television and it says, hey, you better seek some shelter? How were you warned that the tornado was coming?
Well, I was on the golf course, and they kept giving us some weather warnings, and so we quit. And I said, I'm heading home. We got major storms coming. And they didn't say tornadoes. They just said severe thunderstorms. So I blasted home, and it was getting bad. And I got to the house. The sirens started going off. I turned on the TV, and here's one of my favorite people in town, Nancy Van Camp, great gal, does the weather on NBC, Channel 4 here in Nashville. And she's talking and saying, get in your safe place, there are tornadoes. All of a sudden she says, it's on the ground, and names my street. And I went, oh my God.
Oh, my gosh.
And I ran outside as fast as I could just to look. And I looked down the street, guys, and it was 4:15 in the afternoon. So it wasn't dark at all, but there was a black wall of just the blackest I've ever seen and debris flying coming at me. And I ran in the house and grabbed my wife, and I just pushed her down behind one of our couches and flipped it over on top of her. And I tried to jump in there and couldn't. And about that time, windows, doors started flying, debris, a power pole snapped off at the bottom and came through one of our big Bradford pears. That's the only thing, guys, that kept us from getting killed, I think, is the Bradford pear when the power pole was shooting toward our house. And I didn't see this, but afterwards you saw the how it came through. And the transformer on it and all the power lines got caught up in that tree, jammed it up, blew up the transformer, ripped it off, and there was fire all over the place. It was a very, very, very frightening set of circumstances. And we were ground zero for it.
So your wife seeks shelter underneath the couch. That's pretty smart. I didn't think of that. Now, where did you shelter?
I tried to jump down on top of the couch and wedge myself in against the wall in the couch. And there's railing that goes up the stairs. Well, I broke all the railing because I grabbed it and ripped it off when I was trying to jump in there. And it was very harrowing. I mean, the sound, the smells afterwards, the all the ambulances, fire trucks. Our street was covered in police, ambulances, and fire trucks. Power people were out there, and it was dead silent, guys. It was all this carnage, like the end of the world's occurring around you. And then it's dead silent.
Can you estimate
except for people's screams. I heard people screaming. Help.
Oh, man.
Help. Yeah.
Can you estimate how long the wind and all that, the violence of the storm, how long did that last?
Maybe 40 seconds.
Oh, really? That's it?
Yeah, 40 seconds to a minute is what I kind of remember. You know what's so funny, guys, is you forget so much of that. I guess your brain protects you from the stress or whatever. But at first, I was okay. And then the next day, I'm looking around the house, and I just kind of start shaking. And it just hit me that I've just been through something that I've never been through in my life. And
by the way, Frank, I think that's when somebody says, hey, there's a tornado, and it's on Elm Street, and you live on Elm Street, I think the first thing that they tell you that you should do is run outside like you did to make sure you can look at the tornado coming down your. I think that was a smart move there, Frank.
That was kind of stupid.
What the hell are you thinking?
Well, when they say it, it's on the ground
about.
On your street. They name your street, and they take shelter immediately. And about that time, the TVs went out. All the power went off, too. So, but I just ran outside, and then I ran back in.
Your instinct was, let me go see this sucker.
I'm like a first responder. I was running toward the carnage.
Frank, Tim and I are just glad this is a different time and place, because during World War II, if they would have said, head down, the Nazis are coming, you'd stand up.
Frank could run out and greet him.
That's like the old Polish joke in the trenches in World War I. Hey,
what's
ski!
That?
Yeah! And the guy stands up and they shoot him.
That's
terrible.
Seriously.
Oh, me.
Oh, man. Well, you know, the reason I asked Frank is just because we all wonder what it would be like, and you've been through it, and I hope you don't have to go through it again. I hope we don't have to go through it, but just to know, I mean, it's.
It's serious.
I learned a lot. Yeah. I just learned a lot from your explanation right there.
It's serious. When they say go to your safe place and take cover, I was interviewed by the Weather Channel a few days later, because our house had the biggest trees on the street, and they were all on top of the house and through the house and everything. And I told them on the Weather Channel, I said, guys, let me tell you this: the next time I hear, go to your safe place, take cover immediately. I'm going to do it. I used to kind of go, okay.
Yeah.
I'll never do that again. When they say it, I'm going, buddy. It's like nothing you'll ever experience in your life.
Did you wear your Golf Talk America hat and T-shirt when you're doing your
interview? I did not do that.
Frank, we needed some promotion there.
No,
golden opportunity.
No, I was wearing my praise God, praise the Lord that we're okay.
The one T-shirt you probably still had.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's a good thing that it all worked out. That is to lay the groundwork so Frank's in a temporary place. Will be for most of this year, I guess, coming up. So we'll be still in Nashville, but in a different place, and hopefully they'll take care of your house and get it all fixed up better than new. So let's ask you this. Steve Johnson, by the way, did we introduce Steve? No, he introduced himself, didn't he?
Yeah. Sorry.
That's
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry about that, guys.
This is an informal.
Any other questions you got there, Mike Wallace? God, he couldn't help himself.
I was going to be a wise guy, but I fought back the nerve. But I am going to be a wise guy. Tim, those are questions you should have been asking, man.
Yes.
Come on,
Tim. I took a breath, and you jumped in. So I didn't have time to ask those questions. Good God,
that's controlling the interview.
Yeah, I'll just sit back and. Steve, what'd you think about what happened in Maui? Was it to be expected? Everybody scored low. Hit ball 480 yards. Another tournament.
Tim, have you been to that course? Have you been to that course?
Yes, I have.
Okay. That course is not that easy. I mean, those guys are just that good. They're just that good, you know. It doesn't surprise me. And you know, on Saturday when Scottie Scheffler was up toward the top, I said, you know, boys, I think this guy's a real deal here. Sure enough, he is. He didn't win the week. Chris Kirk, God, what a great win for him. Great story. Yeah. You know, battle. Like, I mean, heck, in the world we live in now, there's a lot of addiction. There's a lot of depression. And you know what? He's a sign of a guy that has been blessed to overcome and walk through that. I mean, I know it's a day-to-day deal, Tim. But man, to have success And back when I didn't know him very well, but when I was on the tour, I had the occasion to be with him a few times in his family. At the time, they only had one child. I guess they have four kids now. So
yeah,
good for him. That's great. It gives him more life on the PGA Tour.
He has overcome an awful lot, and he's won six times now on the tour. So he's obviously a very good golfer, but he was very, very close within a hair of quitting golf, and everything else that was going on behind the scenes was kind of overtaking him. But anyway, it was a great story, as you said, to see him come back. Jordan Spieth had a very good tournament. But I'm also curious, so that was that tournament last week. Going forward, the guys hop an island and go over and play at Wailea. How come so few, and I'm curious what you think too, Frank, how come so few of those guys stick around for a second week? Is it just too much? Is it too expensive? I don't think that's a problem, but it's like this week at Sony, not nearly the same field. Same guys aren't there. Normally, wouldn't they stick around for like a nice two-week vacation?
Are you asking Frank or me?
I'm sorry, Frank.
Frank, I'm sorry. First. I'm sorry. I thought you were asking Steve. I think Steve can speak to that better than I.
He's taking shelter.
Yeah, I'm under the desk.
Taking shelter right now.
I'm under
Frank's
the desk.
Under the couch. Yeah. Under the couch.
What's it called? Duck and cover. You would think. I mean, if it were me, heck yeah, I'd stay there. Steve can answer that better.
Anymore? I thought that it was kind of a normal thing that guys would stick around and say, "Hey, family, we're going to Hawaii for a couple of weeks." And
yeah.
But now you look at the field, there's not nearly. I mean, none of those guys that were on the leaderboard last week are there. Like Justin Rose is the biggest name.
They're probably in negotiations with LIV Golf.
I don't know.
That's a big trip. I mean, I think we got to, you know, and I don't have it in front of me, but if you look at the whole schedule, these guys have planned their whole schedules out. Now, it's fluid. They do change. You know, I'm surprised, you know, when a guy's hot like Chris Kirk, well, he wouldn't play again and ride out, you know, a couple weeks of really good play. But these guys all have schedules they're planning for. There's big events coming up. You know, it's still early in the year. They're playing on courses that have Bermuda greens. There's not many courses that they'll play on in the first, you know, in the California swing and the desert and all that, that are Bermuda, that it hasn't been overseeded. So a lot of different conditions over there.
Well,
very grainy greens. What's
I'm asking you guys. I'm asking you guys this because I thought I was leading you into the answer, but you didn't take up my hint. Is this because
I'm not smart enough?
This is what we're now going to see with signature events. Is my point, right? Suddenly, you'll go play in the money events. Oh, and it's a nice little time to stay in Hawaii. You just have to go 500 miles to another island, 300 miles, whatever it is, a short little hop.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to do it because the Sony purse isn't the same purse from Century, and so we're only going to play the big purse events. If you're Spieth, Scheffler, Hovland, on and on and on. Is that the case?
Yeah. And it does give the newbies a chance to hop in right away. Now, it's not – I mean, we can't assume that they've left the islands. They may still be there. They're just not playing golf right now.
Well, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Maybe they're surfing and snorkeling.
What do you think, Frank? Is that what we're going to come to see now? Is these guys are all – they all fought. The PGA Tour said, let's get these signature events. Let's get the big money events. The big players will play in it. And everything that's not that won't see – they'll see Steve and Frank and Tim playing in the tournament, but not the big name guys.
You know, I don't know. I know that's a terrible answer, but I don't know what we're going to see. I think we're breaking new ground here this year. They've got a lot of tournaments to play in, so you know, they like Steve said, they plan out their year pretty much ahead of time.
And do you think they're planning it out with the dollar sign?
Well, would you not? Why would you not?
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So how can those other guys, Steve? I guess I'll ask you. How can those other meaning, in our case, locally, Colonial, Charles Schwab, 18 Pebble Beach, which is now what the CJ Cup, Pebble Beach, Byron Nelson, are they going to struggle? And how could they not if you don't have the same person, you don't have the same field? Will they be able to support?
Yeah, and the timing, and the timing during the year is not a good time for both of those events. The Charles Schwab in Colonial in Fort Worth and the Byron Nelson, the CJ Cup here in Dallas, not a good time of year because the guys are getting ready for, there's key events every month.
Yeah.
There are those special events. Now, Tim, did they change? I thought that the Century used to be called the Tournament of Champions. Now, did they change that format and just made it a special event and invited guys that didn't win tournaments
Correct.
Last year.
Because remember, in the past, it was like 32 guys.
Yeah, it was.
Remember?
Yeah,
it was
right.
Winners. Yeah. And so now they've got a fuller field. So, yes, it is not just last year's winners that get in to try to get more players involved. It was everybody made money, right? I mean, it was a no-cut event. So that was – but they also had a larger field. So, yes, they did change it, and they took out that part of the title, Tournament of Champions, for those guys. Although it still seems that it's going to be the tournament that we're talking about, the PGA Tour, the have and the have-nots. I mean, the guys – and that leads me to the Rory McIlroy conversation that he's been speaking out lately. And some might call him a hypocrite. Some would call him fluid because he's changing as we speak here. What do you think about that? Frank, I'm curious what you think of Rory coming out recently and saying, you know what, this whole live thing, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe I spoke a little too harshly about those guys that switched over to live. Maybe there's a way to have a tournament or a series of golf events all over the world, and he brought it up. Australia is red hot. South Africa is red hot. There's places we can have these events, and suddenly now he's into a world tour that never seemed to be the case before. What do you take with
it? If I were his manager, his PR firm, if I were his sponsors, I'm sure he had conversations with them, and I would really think that me as a CEO of XYZ Company, and I'm sponsoring Rory McIlroy, and he's out there saying the things he was saying, I'd say, look, pal, you know, we love sponsoring and giving you the $20 million a year we give you. But if you don't start playing nice and be just a little more acceptable, the public's turning on you. They don't like your attitude. You need to shut up and go play good golf. And I think he's gotten some of that advice from some of those people. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, he's starting to change his tune.
But let me give you a different perspective. I think that it is more out of it's an organic growth of Jay Monahan's playbook, because it's very similar to what Jay Monahan, the position
well,
that Jay Monahan.
I didn't want to say that,
hey,
but
you know,
I agree.
These guys are bad guys, and you know, hey, wait a second, maybe I was a little harsh in my analysis.
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy, now, although I'm not a big fan of Jay Monahan, he has a very magnetic personality. He's not an evangelist, but he's the kind of guy that people like him. The players like him. I mean, not every player likes him now because of his positions on certain things.
Yeah.
But he's a likable guy. I think Rory McIlroy has built a relationship with Jay Monahan. And you know what? He bought into all that bullshit.
Yeah.
He bought into everything. And now he's having to back up on it. And I mean, I'm not saying Rory McIlroy's not a smart guy. I'm sure he's a sharp, he's streetwise. He's not an educated guy. He's got to be careful the positions he takes, because he does move the needle. Although he's not an American guy and he can't move the needle like Jordan Spieth or Tiger Woods, he does move the needle. And he doesn't surprise me that he backed down in that position, because part of what makes him a great player is once he decides something, he's all in. This was a big deviation from that type of personality, realizing, hey, you know what, maybe I spoke too soon.
Yeah, maybe I was wrong. It's called foot and mouth syndrome, hoof and mouth.
Yeah. I've done that quite often.
Ooh, me too.
Honest.
Sure.
Me
too. On this show most of the time, Steve. You've done that.
On the old days of the game, is that when we were all on the air together?
On PGA Tour Radio.
Oh, yeah.
I think, and here's the other thing, too. Let's go. If we talk about Monahan, I've got to bring up Ernie Els. And he's been talking recently as well. And this probably goes back into December, but not that far back, that Ernie Els kind of went off on Monahan. He said if this would have happened during his prime, meaning the 90s, Monahan would not even still have a job. And he questions why he does still have a job. And he says he's been disingenuous, if not outright dishonest, with players. And the fact that he's now trying to come back and make up for it and try to do other things, he said, I don't know how he survives all of this after what he's done. Because the tour has always claimed it's about the players, right? It's all about the players. The players run basically their tour. And they found out all these decisions were done without any input from the players. And I think that was a real eye-opener and a disappointment for a lot of those guys. Do you think that's changed, Steve? Are they now going to be more involved with the players and at the higher levels in a boardroom talk, still involve players in that? Or are they, as you said, are they going to look at it like a commissioner of the NFL or something and say, hey, I get that the fans pay money to see the players, but we are still running this league, right? We're not going to let players who, as you said, may or may not have an awful lot of education and know exactly what we're talking about here. Are we going to let them rule the PGA Tour or golf in general?
Well, I mean, even from its inception, even though it's a nonprofit, it's been run like a business. I mean, I think the players bought into the fact that if you say it enough, they'll believe it, that it's for the players, by the players, of the players, all that stuff. That's just, I mean, they're running a business. And what they did is they made some decisions that got the business in jeopardy. So now they've got to go ahead and they can still say it's for the players. However, you're going to be able to find players to play in tournaments. So don't tell me if Rory McIlroy gets all pissed and he says, you know what, I'm never going to play again. There'll be another Rory McIlroy. Sure. But the game is much bigger than one person right now. They'll fix this. Bottom line is it's a great way to entertain us as golf enthusiasts. It's a great way to entertain business owners and customers. It's a great way to feature. And we've talked about this before, guys. You know what? It's neat to see golf courses all over the world, places that I will never go to. And I think, God dang, I wish I could go there and play that course. Because it's like a travel log every time. It's not like you're watching the French Open tennis and the tennis court is the same no matter what.
Right.
You're watching, you know, beauty. I mean, like, look at how beautiful it was, the vistas at Kapalua. This week at Wailea. At Wailea, it's not going to be as good, but that you've never seen Bermuda grasses that green and you know, players hitting shots that we can only dream about.
That's true. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Frank.
We should have Robin Leach. Leach announce each tournament each week.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like that, Frank.
It really is. Yeah.
You don't think the Ritz-Carlton there or the Four Seasons or wherever they have the host a tournament don't get benefit from being seen?
Sure.
I mean, absolutely.
Sure. Absolutely, they do.
So, and I think the PGA Tour, has totally taken advantage, as they should, and say that is a uniqueness of that. As you said, Steve, every basketball court in the NBA is the same. Every baseball diamond, pretty much the same, right? So it's a unique thing, and that's of sports in general. Every soccer pitch, pretty much the same. Golf, they're all different. It could be mountains. Yeah. It could be seaside. It could be British Open-looking links courses. So you're right, and I think that's still going to be and always will be a unique thing about golf. But, Frank, you're a businessman. Can the business still survive? We've already seen a few sponsors, most notably Wells Fargo, dropping out because the PGA Tour is now saying, hey, we need double the money that you guys put in before. Is this going to affect the charities getting a piece of money? Because that's always been a big component of PGA Tour golf, is every tournament gives so much money to local charities. Are they going to have to take it from the charities to be able to afford to give it to the players to build up the purse? How's that all going to play out?
I think there are enough organizations out there and people with money that want to sponsor these things. So if one drops out, you're going to have another one come in. I really do.
Okay.
Wells Fargo, for one, I mean, it's a financial institution that hasn't really managed their house real well either. So, you know, the financial institutions have been in trouble.
They're changing their whole business model.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're changing their whole business model.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, Tim, can I ask you a question, Tim?
Sure.
You're a professional at broadcasting. You're a professional. You know, you're an investigative reporter. You do all that stuff. What I really want to know is, I'm changing the subject here.
Yeah, okay.
Get ready. Why did Tiger Woods tear the swoosh off?
I think
going with Nike?
It's a business decision by Nike. Nike is before this even happened, had announced that they were going to cut $2 billion. Out of their expenditures, $2 billion with a B.
Wow.
It's a lot of money. And they knew that Tiger's contract was up. And they're to redo Tiger, which was he just finished a $200 million 10-year agreement with Nike, that Tiger, even being the part-time Tiger that he is and probably will now forever be, just in all honesty, he was not going to probably take half the money or less money. His agent was probably going to say, oh, well, we want $300 million now. And Nike said, no, we can't do it. We've had a great 30-year run with you. But, they're trying to save money in a lot of different departments, Nike is. So that was And that's a huge number that they can eliminate right there. And I think deservedly so. If I was Nike, I would try to find the next, you know, I forget the guy's name. Who's the Texas Tech guy? The European Ryder Cup.
Auburn.
Yeah, in Auburn. To find that next guy, right? Put a swoosh on him and say, okay, he'll take $8 million a year or whatever he's going to take, less than Tiger, and let's, you know, stay in the game, but let's get another
more,
guy.
Get more and, swooshes and out there instead of putting a lot of money in one basket.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and one basket is not going to be seen. I mean, that's a basket.
Exactly.
You hope to see four times in the majors, but you're not going to see him a lot.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just such a unique story that Tiger transcends a sport in both athleticism and in ethnicity. You think that the guys in the inner city are going to embrace Auberg?
Well, I just throw out a name for you. I mean, they'll find. I don't know who.
But I mean,
any player.
Do you think that they're going to embrace that guy? I don't think
somebody will. Well, if you're looking for diversity, if that's your question,
Let me give you a history lesson. Back when Tiger signed his first contract, do you remember what that was for when he came out? He signed for $80 million.
$80
million for 10 years. That was back in the day, though. That was 20-something years ago, Tim.
Yeah, that was big, big
money. And everyone said, oh, my gosh, that is outrageous.
Earl said chump change. That was his quote.
Okay.
Earl's known to be, was known to be quite a douche in a lot of ways. So I'm not.
Well,
that was
nonetheless.
My son's worth more. So.
Right. Well, I mean, more power to him. But back in the day, that was a choking point for a lot of people and everything. Well, oh my gosh, how can they afford to do that? You know, at the end of the day, at that 10 years, that was a steal for Nike.
Sure. Sure.
That was a steal. $80 million to one person was a steal because that guy helped build that company.
Yeah.
And like Michael Jordan did in basketball, Tiger Woods did in almost every other sport.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this though, Steve, as you want to, continue down the road of what Tiger did. If indeed Tiger was that influential to the world in general, much less the inner city or minorities or whatever else that Tiger might have influenced, how in the hell did Nike not make enough money to continue in golf other than apparel? How did they have to fold tent?
I have an answer after Steve finishes.
6 or 8 years ago, if indeed Tiger was so influential, I didn't know anybody that bought Nike golf clubs or played
Nike
golf clubs.
It was an arrogance. It was an arrogance on their part. They thought that they could put a swoosh on something that was an inferior product and do well with it. They were absolutely 100% wrong in that vein.
It was an inferior product. That's exactly right.
Right.
Yeah.
Call it like it is, though, Tim. Tiger Woods was the most recognized person in the world, not just the most recognized golfer in the world. He was the most. And Earl Woods said that he would be more recognized than Gandhi, and people laughed at him. And you know what? Earl's right. He was.
I'm not disagreeing. I don't disagree. It's just Earl's arrogance is a hard pill to swallow. Is all I'm saying. But yeah, I don't disagree that he was right. The Tiger in his prime was incredibly. He replaced Michael Jordan. Right. He phased out from one to the next, and even Jordan proved, as great as he was, that there would be another. Call him LeBron. Call it Luka now. Call it whoever. There's always another. I get it. There'll be another Tiger. There was another guy to come after Jack and after Arnie and all the other ones. It's the evolution of everything. So, yes, there will. Whether he will look like Tiger or not, I don't know. But there would be somebody, and it would be really exciting to see somebody young suddenly win 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 majors and get on a tear like Tiger. He may not get to 15 or 18, but I'd love to see a young guy get to double digits, before he's 30, if that guy's out there. Maybe he's 12 years old now. I think it's certainly possible. There's some great, great golfers out there. And that's, to me, to the big picture we're talking about, through LIV and PGA Tour, is why it needs to somehow be settled and figured out. Because it's a great game. And we all love, I do, I still love watching Nance's corny, during the NFL games, commercials and promos for the Masters. Right? They play the music.
Mm-hmm.
Who's it, Frank? Dave Mason?
Dave,
who's the guy who sings the song?
No, Dave Loggins wrote it. David Loggins wrote it. He was a friend of mine here in Nashville.
I love that.
It's Kenny's cousin. Kenny Loggins' cousin.
Uh-huh. I always loved
and
that
he gave, you know, he gave it to Frank Chikernian.
He took not.
He didn't take a penny for it. Yeah, we had him on.
He
said he gave it away.
And he said he didn't take a penny for it. He just wanted to write a little jingle.
He was so inspired by the awesome beauty of walking the grounds.
Right. And so I love all that. Right. I mean, and I want it to continue. It just needs to, you know, move into the next phase of whatever that is. And if that's a combination of Liv and okay, because I want to see John Rahm and all those other guys and Koepka in tournaments too. I don't, not just the majors. I'd like to see that somehow they can work that out, that we can see them playing at Genesis or wherever that they choose to play. And maybe some of those other guys go play
on the Liv golf. And the Liv,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how they play all that, but there's enough money seemingly. And I think that's Rory's part or point is there's plenty of money. There's American money and there's Saudi money. That combined is billions and billions of dollars that they want to do put into golf. How do we not figure this one out, right? I mean, we can't not mess this up because there's that much money wanting to go into that sport. Tells you something, right? That they want a piece of golf, and it says golf is stable and golf is a good event. And it's, you know, Frank, we know this, right? I mean, it caters to a certain crowd.
Sure.
It's a bit more upper class, but that's the crowd that a lot of advertisers want. If you're Mercedes or Cadillac and whoever else, that's the crowd you want. By the way, did you guys see this? That speaking of turning the moving the needle, of the top 100 TV programs in 2023, top 100, 95 were NFL games.
Yeah.
One was the Masters.
The Masters, yeah.
And the other were some other events. But NFL completely dominates, and the Masters was the only golf event that got in the top 100. Which speaks to what I was just saying. You're not going to get huge TV ratings for Genesis and for Byron Nelson or anything else. You're not going to get huge, but you get the right niche. You kind of hit the right target, and you get Frank who wants to go out and buy another Mercedes.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like let me bring this back to Frank's ordeal here. When there's changes. People are afraid of change. Now, Frank, it was a very volatile change that Frank and his wife went through. But when Frank looks at it like a businessman, this is an opportunity. Now that something's changed, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity to update his house. There's an opportunity to fix the things that he wanted to fix in his house. It's an opportunity. I think the guys are looking at the same thing. Instead of, oh, my gosh, the PGA Tour is just these changes! I can't believe that they're changing. What are they going to do? They're going to destroy it. It's an opportunity to make it better, and I think that's the way you got to look at it.
And still maintain the tradition of the game, and I believe it's we can still maintain that by even changing it. But from Camp Pontevedra, they didn't want to change. I mean, they just liked the things the way they were and didn't want anything to change. And all of a sudden,
the hand of somebody else kicked them
in the butt. Is what
they
did.
In a butt.
Well, when you have
Well,
when you have a monopoly, you don't want things to change.
When you
monopolize the whole game, then hey, you know what? Everything's going good. And if you don't like it, play better. And if you don't like it, go to hell.
That was just not the way to bully players at all.
I think that's the lesson that we've learned, and maybe that's the the bite of apple. I mean, of humble pie that Monahan and the other guys had to bite off because they were, quite honestly, 800-pound gorillas. They were the king. They dominated. They did everything they wanted to do. And in all honesty, that's why I think they need to clean house, because I think there was a lot of animosity of people going, well, you guys didn't foresee this coming. You just kept going down the road you did, and every time there's a little bump in the road or some players had it, you just would.
Well, look back up and look at what when Carlos Slim became involved with the PGA Tour and what he was sponsoring. or wanted to sponsor. Pardon me, Tim. I think you coughed through the airwaves.
Yeah.
The oldest sponsor, the longest running sponsor on the PGA Tour, was a sponsor out of an automobile company that sponsored the event in Miami called Doral, and that was Cadillac. Mm-hmm. And they went to Cadillac and said they Trump bought Doral. Trump made a statement. They didn't like it. All of a sudden, They saw an opportunity, the tour did, to get out of the relationship with Doral and Trump. So they just dumped it. An event, and went to Cadillac and said, instead of 12, we're going to need or instead of 10, we're going to need 15 or 16. They knew Cadillac wouldn't do it. So all of a sudden, they had an ace card right here, and it was Carlos Slim. And so the event moved to Mexico City, Carlos Slim being one of the richest men in the world. And, you know, he owns the phone company, all the cement companies, everything in Mexico. So they did some manipulation and did some things. And I guess my point here is don't do that kind of stuff and not expect something to come back and bite you.
Yeah.
Because it's going to.
But they didn't. They got away with it for years and years, right? And finally it came back. But they did, and they were used to getting
away. But they thought
they
knew best. I'm not criticizing just to be criticizing. They thought in their mind they knew best what was great for the sport out of Ponte Vedra Beach. And I don't think they evolved with the times. They evolved with the young people coming up now. Tiger Woods was a wake-up call for them. He forced evolution on the PGA Tour.
Hey, Steve, so let me ask you this. When you talk about the traditions of golf, we're talking with Steve Johnson, the director of instruction at Vaquero Country Club. If you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you get a chance, I don't know, we'll talk to Steve about that in a second, but whether or not he has access, maybe it's just members. I got to find out.
Send me a video. Send me a video.
Oh, we'll do the video.
Yeah, down the line video, absolutely.
Yeah, let's do a video. Let's do a video. Because I can barely get through the gates at Vaquero, so.
So that's a good point. So nobody else is going to come in there.
I can't bring my 59 Chevy with all four different wheels and bad muffler.
Yeah.
And the front end bouncing up and down. Can't do that, huh?
But here's what I say, though, Steve, is in the tradition of golf. We've seen baseball, which was steeped every bit as much as golf in tradition, right? And they wanted to go back to Ty Cobb and Honus Wagner. Everything's always that way, and it's the stats are the stats. Well, we've seen baseball evolve, right, where there's ended the shift, right? You couldn't do that. The bases got bigger even. What was that all about? They changed the diameter of a baseball base. They did things with pitchers. So all these things evolved. Golf has slowly evolved as well. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with golf hanging on to as much tradition, but also at the same time saying if we're going to attract the next 12-year-olds that want to play this golf game for the rest of their lives, we've got to somehow update it. We've got to get younger and hipper to say nothing else.
I mean, you see the guys that, well, I mean, it all goes back to Top Golf. Top Golf has brought so many people just an interest in maybe exploring the idea of playing and learning golf. Yeah. That's been a big change. You know, people accept rules that are logical. People accept rules that are not necessarily traditional rules, but things that make sense. And as long as golf evolves in a way that makes sense, I think it's a game. It's good. It's a tough game. You know, some people try it and they don't like it because it's so tough. You got to get to a certain level. But you know, we're so far down the evolutionary chain in golf. I was looking at some clubs that I had in my garage, some old Tommy Armour, McGregor tourney irons. The ball barely fits on the club face, Tim. I mean, it's evolved. If you don't think it's evolved, you look at clubs from 40 years ago.
Apex twos, Ben Hogan Apex twos.
You know what?
Yeah.
Here's my overall kind of my cherry on the top of this whole conversation. Tiger Woods will be the sort of the face of professional golf well after he dies. You look at the Masters commercials. They don't show Dustin Johnson making the putt. They don't show perhaps the funniest thing, Phil Mickelson getting about 2 inches of air when he jumps up to make the final putt. You see Tiger Woods. That's why I can't understand the Nike position. Tiger Woods is the most relevant guy in golf, whether he plays one round or zero rounds. I think the demise of golf and the destruction of the golf tournaments is allowing Kevin Kisner in the booth. That's what I think. Kevin Kisner, he's terrible. He's awful. It's terrible.
I'm not saying
I think everything else they're doing. Everything else they're doing is in golf. It's an evolutionary. There's opportunities. They've got good business minds that are helping make the decisions.
Okay. But back up. So what evolved to put Kevin Kisner in the booth that he can't play golf anymore?
Yeah, he's no good. He lost his card. Yeah, he lost his card. I guess you didn't watch the commentary. Because he was up in the booth Saturday and Sunday.
Well, I know that. I know he's up there. I'm saying I didn't understand your point of how it evolved.
I was being facetious, but
okay.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of Kevin Kisner.
He's not good. He's not good as a broadcaster. I can tell you that.
No, but I mean, you know what? Believe it or not, one day I was not good on the radio. And that may have been last week.
That's almost impossible to believe.
Yeah. But
I can't imagine.
But you know
day.
Me, Tim, stuttering and stammering and all that.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
he can get better. But a guy that spits on the greens, you know, that's got the chew in his mouth, that speaks without moving his lips, that everything is an inside joke. Everything's an inside joke. I just do not like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm using this platform to let everybody know that I don't like
it. You did. You did. Wow. Well, scorched that earth.
Yeah. Up next, Kevin Kisner comments on what Steve Johnson had to say.
I don't disagree. He's a very odd choice to me.
I didn't get that choice. I really didn't either.
You know,
to be honest.
He's never known as a personality. He's never been a dynamic. He's always been an intense, as you said, scowling kind of guy. I'm like, and why would you put him in the booth?
I like David Duvall.
Hey, everybody, let's talk golf.
I like David Duvall as an analyst. I like David. I think he's very knowledgeable.
In his defense, he's not afraid to throw an opinion out there. The thing is, I mean, and maybe the reason I don't like him is because I see a lot of myself in him. He is a wise guy. He's a smart ass. And I see a lot of, I mean, I'm confessing right now, Frank. I'm confessing.
Wow.
That is one of my weaknesses.
Frank's in the confession.
I tend to go in areas that I shouldn't be going. I'm Superman.
My house is three blocks from a church, Steve, if you want to come visit. We've got extra rooms. It's a big house.
I didn't expect to get into the Kisner thing, but that's cool. I agree with you that and they'll figure it out.
Well,
he's not the permanent guy.
Tim,
like trying to find something else.
They did the same thing at SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, which is not part of the PGA Tour. It's SiriusXM and Greenstein. They want players. They just want players. They think players, whether they can talk and chew gum, they think players are a draw. And I don't believe that all the time.
They made some good choices. Colt Knost couldn't have been a better choice.
Colt's good. I like Colt.
He's on Sirius. He's on NBC. He's on ABC, wherever he is.
CBS.
He is good. He's got a great personality. People like him. He has a good perspective. He's not afraid to give an opinion.
Right. But you can find those guys. Kisner, I don't get, and I don't think he's going to stick, right? I think he's kind of a temporary, because the whole Azinger thing came down, right, for NBC, just like in October, November, that they bailed on him, which is curious enough. I mean, I don't know what those negotiations, but he acted like they gave him an offer, he countered, and as soon as he countered with a little bit more, they said, okay, you're gone. So sounds like they didn't want him to begin with. I just think that there's a Charles Barkley there's some entertaining guys, and Carl Knost being a one you would bring up, I don't disagree. They don't have to be phenomenally successful, right? Like Carl Knost was not. They don't have to win a bunch of majors and all this stuff. And sometimes I think they get caught up in the credentials of the golfer, when what you need is a entertaining analyst, someone who people are going to want to watch and listen to. I don't give a crap how many majors they might have won. If they're boring and dull and dry, it won't matter. Justin Leonard's a curious choice to me as well. I've known Justin a long time, but again, never been known as a great character. Someone's going to tell jokes in the locker room, right?
So now Bob Murphy, great personality. Colt Knost is out of the, not because of his stature, but Bob Murphy was a good journeyman player. But phenomenal walking on course analyst.
Yeah, kind of a Gary McCord. Yeah, I mean, a guy who's just irreverent. And that's what I'm saying. That is, in a broadcast sense, my two cents, is that matters a lot more than you could take, who's got a bunch of men. You could take Brooks Koepka, and if you wanted to stop and doesn't make him a great guy that you want to listen and watch golf for 4 days over the weekend because he's Brooks Koepka and he did all these great things on a golf course. If he's dull and boring and doesn't give much of an opinion, I don't want that guy. So that's NBC or CBS. That's their job, is to find the guy who's entertaining.
Right.
You know? And this just shows you how few golfers are in that field. When they do the made-for-TV events, Frank, who do they hire? As a horrible golfer, but entertaining as hell. Golf doesn't seem to lend into that. You know, there aren't a lot of golfers, former golfers, that seem to have a fun, dazzling personality. You know, I gotta find somebody. I mean, it's so anyway. That's my take on it. You had to go to basketball to find somebody to talk about golf. You know, so yeah. What's that do for you? All right, Steve. Hey, tell people again if they want to get a hot opinion from you about how to improve their swing. What do they need to do?
Absolutely. If you liked what you heard today on the radio,
I wouldn't go there. Yeah.
Well, here's what you do.
That's not going to help you.
Take a down the line video, and a down the line video is one where you can see the target, you can see your swing, you can see where you're aiming, you can see your swing shape. Take it doesn't have to be practice swings. It doesn't have to be slow motion. Just a regular on your iPhone or your mobile device. Take a video, send it to S. Johnson at champgolf.net. S. Johnson at champgolf.net, and I will send you back a coach video that has lines and all that. Tell me what your big miss is, though. Tell me the big miss is not my right knee tends to pop out. The big miss is in the ball. What does the ball do? Is the ball curving to the right? Is it rolling along the ground? Are you popping it up? Are you pulling it? What are you doing? What's the big miss? If you could fix one shot in your game, what shot would you fix? I need to know that, because that'll help establish a game plan, and I will turn that video around, and you will be a good golfer. 2024 is going to be your year.
I need to quit scooping. I need to quit scooping my irons. I need to get those hands more forward. That's what I need to do.
There you go. We'll take a video, and Steve will.
Frank, what you need to do, Frank, is you need to get walls up and a roof up is what you need to do.
I haven't played since December 9th, man. I haven't. Yeah. The golf clubs are. I'm not playing until this
is over. I'm telling you what, we're glad that you're all right, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Is scary.
Yeah, it was. I appreciate it very much. My wife and I thank everybody for all their thoughts and prayers and notes, and it was scary.
And by the way, I did send a video to Steve. I sent him one like probably back in September or so, a few months ago. And Steve got back to me and said, "Tim, here's what I'm seeing." And so it's very, very informative and helpful. I highly recommend you do it. And you just send back something simple and some pointers that people. Yeah. So you're not going to go through a 20-step process with Steve.
Yeah. No. This is the start of a game plan. You should be. Yeah. So here's the thing for instruction. If I pick the right thing. It's very easy to look at a video and to list things that you don't like on your swing. Everyone does it. But the key to good instruction is giving you something that will affect your impact right away, and it will let you fix that big miss. Now, it may create a different miss, but you got to fix the miss that you have right now, the one that you're seeing, and that's moving forward. So it's my pleasure to do it. We do it for anyone that's brave enough to listen to this show for a full hour deserves a present.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
Or sainthood.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks so much.
Guys.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
And I'll come see you at Vaccaro sometime soon.
Sounds good.
Okay.
There's a fence that's down, and we can get you through.
Oh, that's what I want. Perfect. All right, buddy. Take care. Have a good day.
Thanks, big guy.
Right.
See ya.
Steve Johnson, again, sjohnson@champgolf.net.
There you go.
Is where you send your video. And everybody can do that now. That's just the beauty of these devices, Frank, called cell phones. Right?
Yes.
Smartphones. You can shoot. Everybody's got one. You got a camera everywhere you go. Just shoot it. And Steve will say, hey, you know, you're wondering why you keep hitting it into the trees or why you can't get the ball off the ground or whatever it is. Here's a guy that's worked with top professionals, was around Tiger Woods through the Hank Haney years when he won only 10 majors. He kind of knows a few things about your swing. So take advantage of it. It's free.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
Got to do that.
All right, Frank.
Well, it's been a good show.
Yeah.
It's been a good show.
I hate to end it because I know this is probably a little respite for you to get away from the drudgery of having to deal with your issues and stuff. But
it's okay. There are other people who don't have anything left, you know. Right. And for those people, my prayers are for them.
And thank God for your pear trees. Is that what you said, pear trees?
Bradford pear. Yeah, well, the oak, the huge oak. One of the oaks. I lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 trees totally.
Wow.
Big trees. I mean, I'm talking 80-year-old trees. Yeah. So, yeah, it looks like a waste zone around there now.
Yeah.
But I have a shout-out to make. Batten and Shaw Construction Management in this town. They build.
They're the ones redoing your house?
No, they're helping. But they do a lot of HCA hospitals, LifePoint, AmSurge. They're huge. And the whole company is a family. They really, really are. And that's who my wife is with and has been for 20-plus years. 23, including Batten, Shaw, Worth Scott, Aaron Talbot. I'm leaving names out, and I hate doing that because there's just – anyway, the entire – 23 people showed up on a Saturday morning just to come over and do whatever we needed done after that tornado hit us.
Yeah.
They just said, we're here, and we're going to tarp, we're going to clean up, and it was incredible. So Batten Shaw Construction Management, they're not a sponsor. They are just a wonderful company and wonderful people. Jimmy McClurkin is who I was thinking of. Jimmy spearheaded that thing for the company, and he's the head of all their he's number three in charge there.
Nice.
And Pam's right there with him. So, but it touched
us
both. We both cried.
People,
we both just cried. I mean, it was just to see all those white Batten Shaw trucks show up and parking all over the place and getting out and saying, okay, we're here. What do you need? Well, and they said, oh, never mind. We see what you need, and they started working.
Yeah.
Now, one of the funny things is Jimmy Batten, with the chainsaw, is a dangerous man. I mean, he's been the CEO of that company for a long time. And I said, I'm leaving. I'm going to the backyard. I'll see you, Jimmy. But really, they're great people. And a lot of other people came out for us, too. I mean, John Stumpfick, a lot of the people from Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club, all those guys called
good.
Constantly.
Yeah.
So there's been an outpouring of just wonderfulness. Is that a word? I mean, just care.
It is now.
And love, yeah.
Well,
it really is.
Things like this tend to bring out the best in human beings, right? And that's what's wonderful about it is that people help each other out. And so it's unfortunate what you've had to go through, but I'm sure, as you said, I think what you have to do is look at the whatever bright spot you can. The bright spot is it made you realize how fortunate you are to have the friends and people around you, right? And you're like that you may have not thought of or taken for granted, like we all do.
Pat and Chuck Lovelady, all our good friends.
Good.
John and his wife, John Stumpig, and great people.
Good.
Anyway, so it's we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there.
Yeah,
well, we'll get through this one way or the other.
All right. Well, we're about out of time, Frankie Frank. So let's call it a show. We do appreciate it. Again, if you want to watch more. Get away from the blizzards in the Midwest and the East and other places and the rain in the South and the West and everywhere. It's got something. Escape at the Sony Open. Watch a little golf this weekend, and you'll see some beautiful scenes from Hawaii. Thanks to Steve Johnson with Vaquero Country Club for being with us and for Frank Bassett and for Tim Matthews. We appreciate each and every one of you, and please remember to join us next time right here for Golf Talk America.